here, he was kind of counting his blessings. I mean, he was reigning over Israel, and God had prospered him and prospered their nation, and he just felt extremely, extraordinarily blessed. You know, sometimes we can lose focus. We can get to excited or get to thanking God about tangible, physical things, but there are greater things than these. There are the spiritual blessings that we need to count. If you're blessed spiritually, you need to reckon or factor that in. And so notice as I begin reading from the 144th Psalm, beginning in verse 9, I will sing a new song unto thee, O God, upon a psalmistry and a instrument with 10 strings will I sing praises unto thee. It is he that giveth salvation unto kings, who delivereth David, his servant, from the hurtful sword. Rid me and deliver me from the hand of strange children, whose mouth speaketh vanity, and their right hand is a right hand of falsehood. That our sons may be as plants growing up in their youth, and that our daughters may be the cornerstones polished after a similitude of a palace. That our gardeners may be full, affording all manner of store. That our sheep may bring forth thousands and 10,000s in our streets. That our oxen may be strong to labor. That there be no breaking in, nor going out. That there be no complaining in our streets. In other words, he's talking about all of the happiness and the joy and the contentment and the satisfaction going on in the city. And he says, happy is that people when there's peace and joy and prosperity and happiness and all these wonderful things just happening all around us. Happy is that people that is in such a case. And then it's as though he says, yay. Wait a minute. All of this physical prosperity, all of this peace and goodness encompassing our lives, it would be nothing without the Lord. Notice what he says. Yay, happy is that people whose God is the Lord. I want to speak to you about happiness. I've never in my life seen so many unhappy people. They say it takes 72 muscles to frown and 14 to smile. I guess that's why I smile a lot. But there are many passages of Scripture that tell us about developing and enjoying true happiness of life. Happiness is a very broad subject. I know there's been times in my ministry I've preached on the joy of the Lord, and I preached about what the Scriptures teach about joy and happiness. Actually, there's a foolproof system in God's Word that teaches us how to be happy. There's people looking all over the place trying to discover, trying to find. They're using philosophy and they're going to professionals and they're trying to find happiness. And they're just looking for happiness in all the wrong places. God has designed a system whereby mankind can be happy. A foolproof system on enjoying the happiness of life, having the happiness of life. How can we be happy? What does the happiness mean? Well, there are many ideas about happiness. I mean, there's actually a mass confusion when you start examining or asking people what it means to be happy. There are varying aspects of it. If I should ask you this morning, are you happy? What would be your response? You know, a lot of people associate wealth and prosperity and fame with happiness. And certainly David says, you know, this thing contributes to our happiness, but if God wasn't factored in, we'd really not be happy. Amen. And you may have a certain degree of prosperity, wealth, and fame. If you have your health, you should be happy. we should enjoy or thank God for our health. And so happiness many times is associated with some contentment of mind, being satisfied, having some degree of success, or actually a quality of state in a circumstance. Our circumstances, what we find, or how we find ourselves, what kind of circumstance we find ourselves in, many times tells us or enables us to understand some degrees of happiness. But what does it really mean to be happy? How can I obtain happiness in life? They say that 20 million married couples are unhappy today. 20 million. One of the reasons they're unhappy is because they're not following the precepts and the principles of God's Word. God has designed happiness within certain guidelines. And if you do not shape yourself according to God's creative design, if you do not tailor your marriage according to thus saith the Lord, you will have an unhappy marriage. Men need to be men. Women need to be women. God has specific duties for each one of them. Happiness. Well, you might say, well, look at these people over here. They seem to be or look like they're happy. And certainly there's a degree of happiness. There are some aspects of happiness that could be categorized as an unrighteous happiness. Do you think the devil ever gets happy? Can the devil be happy? Can God be happy? Perhaps that's what's contributed to so much confusion along this concerning the subject, because God can be happy and Satan can be happy. There's a righteous happiness and there is an unrighteous happiness. We need to understand that this thing soars from the Holy of Holies to the depths and darknesses of hell. So that proposes some difficulty. Karl Marx said the best way to be happy is to abolish all types of religion. Frederick said one time that happiness is a woman, a good cook, and a quiet life. Another man said that happiness is a vocation that satisfies the soul. Another man said that happiness is this, and I don't understand this one, but it's the putting of oneself outside oneself into another self. Let me read that to you again. The putting of oneself outside oneself into another self. I don't know how that would make you happy. Thomas Jefferson said that happiness is tranquility and occupation. Benjamin Franklin said that happiness is little advantages that occur every day in life. Some have said that happiness is a mental state aided by wine, tobacco, and alcohol. Or women, wine, and alcohol. Whatever. Wine, women, and tobacco. That's what it was. There are many different aspects of happiness depending on who you ask. And we need to be very careful that we do not give in to the philosophies of this world and develop an unrighteous kind of happiness. There are a lot of people in the world that have an unrighteous kind of happiness. Where is true happiness found? Well, I assure you, it's not found nor discovered by the philosophies of this world. You can discover how to have a happy life by reading and understanding and coming to know what the Word of God teaches on how to be happy. Having the Lord. Isn't that what the psalmist David, King David, was saying? You might have all of these things, but things do not make you happy. Fame and fortune, listen to me, fame and fortune have failed to make people happy. So I want to give you a formula for being happy. Those of us that have been saved, those of us that have experienced the spiritual blessings of life, there's no amount of money or fame that you can offer us to compare to the spiritual blessings that we've enjoyed. There's nothing that we would trade for what would it gain a man to profit the whole world and to lose his own soul. We would not exchange the spiritual blessings that we have in our heart and in our life for all the wealth of the world, because we know that that stuff cannot make us happy. It fails to establish happiness in our hearts and in our lives. So we have to look elsewhere in order to get that true underlying foundation of happiness. That true foundation of happiness that every couple and every person needs is found in Jesus Christ. There's a happy place. And that happiness radiates from the hope that we have in the Lord. Look in Psalms 146, just a couple of Psalms over. Look at verse 5. It says, "Happy is he that hath the God of Jacob for his help." Having the God of Jacob for his help, whose hope is in the Lord, his God. Obviously, saved people have a unique kind of happiness. We have a hope in the Lord. We have a help. There's helping and hoping that goes on deep inside of us that formulates a kind of happiness that the world cannot provide. This happiness that we have as Christians, it radiates from our hoping in the Lord. So we that have this hope, we that have this help that comes from the Lord, have you ever received help from God? Do you have some future anticipation and expectation in the Lord Jesus Christ? Hope is a very special word to the Christian. It's an expectation of something that we know is going to happen. It's an assurance that we've simply not yet seen. We know it's going to happen. We know it's going to happen. We've just not seen it yet. So, there's a happy place that we can occupy where we receive help from the Lord, where we have hope in the Lord. This design that God has designed and He has developed for us, a happiness within a certain circumference, within a certain guideline. We have to be in the right place to be happy. Spiritually, you must be in the right place or you will not have this holy happiness. When Jesus began His ministry, I mean, He had been walking among the people of Israel for about 30 years. Certainly, there was some observation, some situational preaching that went on in the sermon that Jesus preached in the 5th chapter of Matthew. His very first sermon. You know what the first thing He said when He began to speak? I mean, we're talking the preachers, the preaching the sermon of sermon, Jesus Christ. The first word out of His mouth when He began to preach His first sermon was happy. Happy. You know it is blessed. But it means happy. The Beatitudes are talking about a state of happiness. He says, happy. Happy is the man who is poor in spirit. It's as though He was saying, people, if you want happiness, it's right here. People today are looking for this happiness, and I'm telling you, it's in the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Happiness is found there. So, in His first sermon, He preached a subject. He began His sermon with the subject of happiness. It's as though He was saying, people, it's right here. And aren't we that are saved by the grace of God happy? Aren't we blessed to know that our sins have been canceled? Paul said in the book of Romans chapter 4, it's also written in the book of Hebrews, it's also written in the Old Testament talking about those that have experienced those aspects of the new covenant where they've had their sin debt canceled. He said, blessed is the man whose iniquities are forgiven. Is that a happy state? To know that you're clean with God?
We don't want that kind of happiness. You know why? Because it requires repentance. Come on now. We want to go around. We want happiness and want spirituality, want blessings, but we don't want to deal with the true issues of sin upon our soul. And listen, the only way you can have your sin debt canceled, the only way you can be forgiven is to repent. Jesus said nobody can be saved unless they repent. People will go to hell if they don't repent. Amen. It was his first message. He wanted to be happy. And when he went out from among the people, he started saying, repent, repent. Keep in mind, he started preaching. He said, here's happiness. And then he went out telling people to repent. Listen, when you repent of your sins and you believe in the Lord Jesus Christ with all of your heart and your sin debt is canceled, there's a happiness that comes into your heart and life that comes fresh off the throne of God. It's the Spirit of the living God that enters your heart, and you know that your sin debt has been canceled. There's a fraudulent, fake kind of happiness out in the world, even in Christendom, in churches. Oh, come on, you've seen them, huh? Yeah, I mean, they're smiley-go-lucky and jolly. They're jolly for Jesus. Listen, man, when you deal with the true issues of sin, there'll be some weeping and some wailing going on in your life. Amen. There's times in our life where we cannot be happy till we get it under the blood. I personally have a problem with people just saying, forgive me, Lord. Oh, thank you. Walking away. Amen. Jesus was crucified that we might have our sin debt blotted out. There was suffering and agony associated with our sins, and we need to experience a little of that when we repent. Amen. If there wasn't weeping and wailing that went on in your heart over your sins when you repented, you didn't repent. Paul will go a little further on and tell the people at Corinth he was glad that they were sorry, that they had a godly sorrow that brought about repentance in their church. You know, I like to see churches from time to time a little upset about some of the stuff they do that's wrong. Amen. We're the first generation of church. Listen to me. We're the first generation of church that can go years and years and years and years without ever having to repent of anything. Come on now. We voted on it, and so that makes it right. We're never wrong. Jesus said if we confirm it down here, he confirms it in heaven. He didn't say that. Amen. Yeah, you're misinterpreting the scriptures there. Amen. Okay? There are occasions that I, like Paul, like to see some churches get things made right. And sorrow to a point to where they repent and get back where they need to be with the Lord Jesus Christ. We need some. Things that happen in the Bible still happen today. There are times the Lord comes to his church and says, look, if you don't repent, I've got a problem with you. And if you don't repent of this, I'll pull the candlestick. That's what he told some of the seven churches of Asia. And I tell you, he's telling some churches today that. And so we are glad. We are happy when we see people in trouble over their sins. We're glad. We're happy when we see churches in trouble over their sins. I would be glad and happy today if I saw our country in trouble over their sins. I like a broken heart, a contrite spirit. Don't you? You know why? Because the Bible says the Lord is nigh unto those that are of a broken heart and a contrite spirit. So, having our sins canceled, forgiven, blotted out, according to Romans 4, verses 7 and 8, that person is happy. Happy is the man to whom the Lord will not impute sin. Another person who's happy. In the 16th chapter of Matthew, Jesus said Peter was happy. He said Simon Peter was happy. Because he had a revealed knowledge of the Father. Do you think having a revealed knowledge of God is a happy thing? Happy art thou, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto you. Having a spiritual revealed knowledge of something, should that make us happy? Jesus said, you're happy, Simon. Yeah, Bar-Jonah. You're happy, Peter. You know why you're happy? Because you have a revealed knowledge. I'm thankful that I have a revealed knowledge of some things. I have a revealed knowledge that I'm saved. Amen. Revealed knowledge that Jesus is the Lord and the Messiah. I have a revealed knowledge that the Baptist way is the right way. Amen. Wasn't taught it this way. Wasn't just taught that this was right. I have a revealed knowledge that this is right. I have a revealed knowledge. I had a revealed knowledge of which church to join.
Amen.
Yeah. Yeah. Sure did. I believe you can have a revealed knowledge of who to marry. Sure do. I think there's a lot of things you can have a revealed knowledge of. And people, when God is answering our prayers and guiding us and showing us the way, we are a happy people. When He's leading us and He's guiding us, that makes us happy. 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 Simon, you're happy because you've had this revealed to you of the Father. You think Christ was happy? Do you think Jesus was a happy man? Don't you think he was happy when people were healed? Don't you think he was happy when people were relieved of their oppressions? When they were delivered from demons or sickness? Don't you think that made him happy? Or to raise one from the dead? Don't you think that was a happy occasion? Sure it was. You might say, well, the Bible says that he was acquainted with sorrow and grief. Yes, he was. Over our sins, he was acquainted with sorrow and grief. But his spiritual life, his life lived for you and working for mankind and serving others brought him happiness. He said, I came not to be served, but to serve. And today, if you want to be happy, you'll be serving God. Do you think they're happy in heaven? Well, what are they doing in heaven? What's making them so happy? Revelation chapter 22, verse 3 says that they are serving Him. They're at the throne of the Lamb, and they are serving Him, and serving God makes us happy. Paul wrote in Romans 12 and 11, be not slothful, but serve the Lord. If you want to be happy, you best serve the Lord. I mean, really, serve the Lord. That's why He saved us. The Bible says in Hebrews 9 and 14 that the blood of Jesus has been applied to us through the eternal Spirit, through the sprinkle of blood upon our souls and our hearts, purging our conscience from dead works. To do what? To serve the living God. I think you can't be happy unless you serve others as well. You remember when Jesus in the 13th chapter of John washed the disciples' feet? Huh? Do you remember that? Huh? Do you remember what He told His disciples? I mean, He got down with a basin and a towel and He washed the disciples' feet. And He says, do you know what I've just done? Do you understand what's just taking place here? Do you realize what I've just taught you by this example? And then He said, do you want to be happy? Do you want to be happy? You're going to have to serve one another as well. Happy are you if you do them. If you observe what I've just done and you go out and do likewise, if you become a servant, listen, our servitude as Christians is paramount if we ever want to be happy. Church must be involved in serving one another. Galatians chapter 5 verse 13, it tells us to love one another and to serve one another. It's a foolproof formula for happiness. One of the reasons we're not happy today is because we are so self-absorbed. It's all about us. Come on now. What I want, what I want to do, it's all about me, 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 me. And whether you realize it or not, you are causing problems in the area of happiness. For if you are saved and you're serving God, and you've had your sins canceled, and you're serving other people like you're supposed to, you won't have a me attitude. When you're serving God and you're in the church and you're working for the Lord, it's us. Amen? Yeah. Yeah. We. Us. God with us. Helping us. You can't be happy unless you're reverent. This generation is one of the most unreverent, disrespectful generations we've had in a long time.
Amen.
And that's the reason they're having to stick bolts in their heads. You know what I'm talking about? A bolt in their flesh, you know. It's needles all over their face and their tongues and their face. And while they've got to, you know, deface themselves. Now, we're going to deface this wall down here. We're going to cover it up, all right? Don't deface anything in the church. And you shouldn't deface your body.
Amen.
Yeah. But the reason all that's going on, and I realize some people get sucked into the trend of it, but a lot of it is a lack of happiness. You know? Sticking yourself with pins and needles won't make you happy.
Okay.
You're looking for happiness in the wrong place. And a lot of that is a lot of disrespect and irreverence. It's in Psalms 28 and 14, it tells us that happy is the man that fears always. The Bible says that a person who is happy will be reverent, will have a reverent fear. Proverbs 28 and 14. Happiness is found in reverence. See, there needs to be a holy awe about us, a reverence toward the things of God. Do you hear what I'm saying? You cannot be happy until you hold on to and have always, that's what it says here, happy is the man that feareth always, always. If you don't have a reverent awe about you every day of your life, you cannot be happy. If you get up one morning and you're unhappy, you know why? It's because you don't have a reverent fear about you. We go through our lives with a caution. If you want to be happy, you go through your life with a caution that you might offend God. Does God get offended? There needs to be a dread of the appearance of evil. There should be a distrust of our own sufficiency. Our sufficiency must be in God. We go around through life expecting trouble. We pray, Lord, keep us from the evil one. There needs to be a perpetual reverent fear about us if we want to be happy. Happy is the man who maintains a reverent fear about him. Bible says in Proverbs 16 and 20, blessed is the man or happy is the person who trusts in the Lord. Living by faith, walking by faith, conforming your life to faith. The Bible says in Proverbs 29 and 18 that the man that keeps the laws of God is the happy man. Bible says that he that keepeth the laws of God are happy is he. See, there are things governing. There are laws governing our lives. And each time you step outside of those laws or those principles of God, you bring in unhappiness into your life. There are laws regarding males and females. There's laws regarding the home. There's laws regarding the church. There's the law of gravity. If you don't respect the law of gravity, you'll get hurt. Okay? There are laws that govern our lives. And unless we conform to the laws of God, we won't be happy. And our nation has adopted a lot of things and moved outside of the boundaries of God's laws, and that's why we have become an unhappy nation.
Amen.
There are things that are governed by the laws of God. You know, I could camp here, but I'm not going to. You need to find out. You need to find out what those laws are. One of the things, and I'm just going to touch on this one. A Christian Sabbath. It's in Articles of Faith. It's one of the Big Ten. Sabbath meaning a day of rest. That's what the word Sabbath means, a day of rest. The Jews observed it, of course, on the seventh day. The Christians observe it on the first day of the week. But having a day of rest, God said you need that. If you come along and say, God, I know it's one of your laws, even one of those you gave it from Mount Sinai, I know it's one of the Big Ten, to observe a day of rest, but I don't want to. I want to do what I want to do. I want to live the way I want to live. I'm going to ignore that one, and suddenly you find yourself unhappy. Hello. Hello. You must conform your life to the laws of God in order to be happy. Amen. When you suddenly got in your mind you're smarter than God, but you're wrong.
Amen.
You're wrong. You're not smarter than God. Now I realize there are some professions that fall into a, I won't say they're exempt, they just have to do more to make up for it. Law enforcement and some of our hospitals and things of that nature. But God has designed us a certain way and we must conform to His design. Who made who? Did God make you or did you make God? Well, God made you and He knows how you work and function. Paul said, and I could go on with this, there are so many passages. Do you guys realize that there's a whole book given to us on how to be happy? Paul, when he was before Agrippa, in the book of Acts 26 and 7, he said, I'm happy to witness to you, King Agrippa. Do you think telling other people about Jesus makes us happy? Paul said it did. Paul said, let me tell you how God brought me to this place. I'm happy to tell you about this. James said, we're happy when we're enduring some stuff. When it's making us tough, when our faith is being tried. Behold, we count them happy which endure. Come out through the other side of a trial. You're going through a trial. Oh, you poor soul. No, happy is the person going through a trial. Amen? God's trying you. God's testing you. Just like He did Job and Abraham. That's the way God deals with His people. Hello? Bless you. We ought to be happy when we're going through and enduring these trials and tribulations and testings from God. Because gold is always, always, always tried in the fire. Or it's not good gold. The Bible says in the book of Peter, 1 Peter 3 and 14, if we suffer for righteousness, happy are you. The Bible says if we suffer reproach for Christ, we're happy. I want to close with a passage in Deuteronomy 33 and 29. The Bible says, happy art thou, O Israel, who's like unto thee? If there should be a people on the face of the earth happy, it should be us. We should be the happiest group of people on the face of the earth. We are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood. We've been saved. We're the church of the true and living God. We are the pillar in the ground of the truth. We're elected. We're the apple of God's eye. He loves us and perpetually shows us kindness. He's changed us and made us new, and we should be happy. I believe He reigns in His church, abides with His church, feels His church and feels His people. That should make us all very happy. If any people should be happy, it should be us. He says, happy are you, Israel. Should Israel have been happy? Sure, because they were the people of God. Should the church be happy? Yes, because we are the church of Jesus Christ. Happy.
happy art thou, Israel, who is like unto thee? Is there any greater institution on the face of the earth than the church? No. No greater.
And he says, O people saved by the Lord. You know, they were saved. They were delivered from many oppressions and problems and things. And we've been delivered, haven't we? Jesus has delivered us. I mean, if you just take all the other aspects of this verse out, and I'm not going to read even all of it, about Him being their shield and sword, about the Lord being their shield and sword and helping them as a people. But you just take that word saved. That ought to make us dance. Huh? Saved. We're saved. We've been born again of the Spirit of God. We've been redeemed. We've been regenerated. We've been delivered from sin. We're saved. You know what I have the duty this morning of doing? Stirring you up to a degree of happiness because you're saved. Why, I shouldn't have to stir you up. You ought to be already stirred up. Amen. Saved! That's what he said. You're saved. You're delivered. You're the people of God. You've been born of the Spirit. You're kings and priests of the Lord Jesus Christ. You're on your way to heaven to serve the Lamb the rest of your, well, throughout eternity. Throughout eternity. Forever. Forever and forevermore. Saved. Everybody say that with me one time. Saved. Saved. You know, you have something come up tomorrow. Something bad happen. You know, and you have one of those feelings of unhappiness. Try this. Say it again.
Saved.
Saved. Saved. Let come what may, I'm saved. Why, people, that should stir us up. The moment we start to feel a degree or the least bit unhappy, we ought to just say, saved. I'm saved by the grace of God. I'm saved, 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 saved. Try it again. Say it one more time. Ready?
Saved.
Wow. Some of you, made you smile. You're brightening up. Some of you are brightening up. Try one more time. I got about 80% bright. All right? One more.
Saved.
Saved. Saved by the grace of God. Praise God, I'm saved. He said, Israel, you're a happy people. You're a happy people. Because you're Israel. You're the people of God. But he went a little further and said, you're a happy people because you're saved. Because you're saved. I appreciate